I speak to you in the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. You may or may not be aware that the required reading, besides the gospel, during the season of Easter is always from the book of Acts. So 2 weeks ago, on the second week of Easter, we started in Acts 2 with Peter addressing the crowd in a sermon. But as last week's reader pointed out to me very excitedly in the parking lot, we can read these readings, but they just don't make sense if we haven't been looking at Acts because they're out of context. Larry, you make a good point. So if we take a look at the readings that we have heard from Easter 2 and 3 and today Easter 4, they all come from Peter's sermon that takes place, are you ready for it? Right after Pentecost. Like Pentecost, and now Peter's giving a sermon. But we aren't in the season of Pentecost. We don't even get to Pentecost for another 4 weeks. But that doesn't matter because those are the readings that we have. They might seem out of order, but stay with me here for a moment. So Peter comes out and he addresses the crowds following the tongues of flame and the Holy Spirit causing everyone to speak in many languages. 2 weeks ago, we heard Peter connect God's actions back to Scripture, just as we heard Jesus do last week on the road to Emmaus. And Peter helps people to understand that God's good news through the power of Jesus' resurrection is for everyone. Last week, on Easter 3, we hear Peter continue his sermon connecting Jesus to God's actions throughout time, and he calls on the crowd to repent. To repent. And anybody remember else what else they were called to do? Be baptized. To repent and be baptized. And the people were so moved by Peter's words. Do you remember how many were baptized? 3,000. Good job. Crushing it in the corner there. 3,000 people were called to be baptized. And then we get to this week and we hear those who had been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And right there, that's why we hear this after Easter, right there we see really the birth and the growth of the first Christian community, the message of good news brought to us through the life of Jesus being proclaimed and calling people into this new life through baptism. And what does it say that these first Christians do? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They devote themselves to the breaking of bread, and they devote themselves to prayer. And I am curious if those sound familiar to anyone. Maybe? A little? Because it is the opening question of our baptismal covenant. We start with, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And then we get to these five foundational questions of the faith. And they aren't just some questions that a bunch of guys thought up sitting in the back room writing the prayer book. That is how we got the translation of the Psalms, but that's another sermon. Right, our prayer book actually comes. Do you know 2/3 of our prayer book is actually Scripture? All of our baptismal covenant is based in our Scripture. And when we are asked this question, will we continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, we all reply, ah, choir mostly got it. What is that again? We will with God's help. side note here. Anybody know why that is the response? Why we don't just say, "Yes, Lord," and move on? Huh? We can't do it by ourselves. Man, great audience participation, not audience, parish participation today. We can't do it on our own. All that we do, every single thing that we do in our life, grounded in our faith, even not grounded in our faith, we do with the help of God. We understand through our baptism that our Christian life, we do all things with God's help. But back to our Acts reading. We are witnessing the very beginning of the community that has been handed down and that we are a part of today. This reading of Acts is in fact our origin story, if you will. And I don't think that we often pay enough attention to it. Continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Just what does that look like? Well, if you keep reading, it says that the newly baptized sold all they had, distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. Great, go call your realtor. And I say that jokingly, but when I read that line, it always puts fear in my own heart. And then on the flip side of that coin, I wonder, well, if we did sell all that we had and we pooled it together, I think that we could probably solve world hunger pretty easily. Today, this caring for the community that these very first Christians started, today it takes place in our pledge to the church that we make annually. And the church, in turn, taking that money to support those who are in need for meals or laundry or showers. It goes out to help our community writ large when they are in need of care. The reading also says that this new community, they spent much time together in the temple, where I would imagine they were studying scripture together, and they were praying for one another, and they were supporting one another on their faith journeys, much like we do. When we gather for worship, when we go to adult ed or send our children to Sunday school, when we go into the parish hall and gather for coffee hour and talk and listen and share our stories, when we show up for laundry love so that people can go out into the world with dignity and clean clothes, then we are being in fellowship and we are supporting one another and those in need. All of these ministry connections, selling everything and taking care, or how we do it today, whether in the time of the apostles or now, these are all done through the Holy Spirit. The very breath of Jesus given to his disciples and handed down to us today, divine breath that creates oneness between us and God. And as Brother David Stendhal Rast says, it is this Holy Spirit that creates holy community. And you and I together, when we act in our faith, we are being holy community. Next in the scripture, it says that those who had just been baptized and were gathering, they broke bread at home. They ate food. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. I think sometimes the words of the Eucharist, when the priest is standing out up there, can go in one ear and out another. And I know that there are other times that strike us at the core of our being. We too approach the altar rail with glad and generous hearts. That bread, that Eucharist that we celebrate together each and every Sunday reminds us that Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. Through that sacrifice, we have been born into this holy community where all are welcome and all are fed. We are called to be a holy community that has glad and generous hearts. And last, it says, last, this group gathered together and they prayed. They praised God. They were praising God and had the goodwill of all the people. They prayed. They prayed together in the temple. They prayed together in their homes. They probably even prayed out on the street. I know that's a stretch, but I'm just saying they did. And they had prayer that transformed their hearts. And they were transformed to the extent that they had goodwill for each and every person that they met. All of humankind. So I hope that you will take this story that is our origin story, home with you this week. And yes, you have to get out your Bibles. And you're going to turn to Acts 2, and you're going to start with Pentecost at Acts 2:1, and you're going to read all of Acts 2, because we too are called to study our scripture and not just at Sunday between 10 and 11:15. Go home and read it today, tomorrow. I don't care if you forget about it until Saturday at 10 p.m. Go and read your Acts 2. And then I want you to pray about what you read. Sit with the words. Let them soak into you. Hear what they are calling out of you. And then as we go through this week, think about how you are living out your God-given call that is our baptismal covenant. How are you following the teachings of Jesus? How are you participating in the fellowship? How are you living into the sacred meal of the Eucharist? How are you transforming your own lives and then the lives of others through prayer? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
We will.
Amen.